Chuck read a verse of scripture from Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Abram, who was later named Abraham by God, was a great man. The Bible calls him a friend of God. As we know, he was the father of the Hebrew race. And we know, and you that know the Bible at all know the story of Abraham. He was living in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, Abram, I want you to go to a place, and I'll tell you when you get there. Just go ahead and start out, and when you arrive, I'll tell you when to get there and when to stop. And so Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, which is in a place that we know as Kuwait today. And instead of going due west where the land of Canaan was, he went a little bit north, because immediately to the west there's a great big desert. And so he went north, followed what they call today the Fertile Crescent, and then came south into Canaan. And he came to the place where God wanted him to be, and he was in the center of God's perfect will. Geographically, he was where God wanted him to be, and spiritually, he was in the place that God wanted him to be. In fact, in the Bible, the place Canaan always represents the perfect will of God. There was a famine that came. Some circumstance. I don't know what caused it. I don't know if they had a drought. I don't know if they had a blight. But there was a circumstance or a happening that came to the land of Canaan. There was a famine. And Abraham decided to leave Canaan and go to Egypt. Are you guys a little bit too cool in the front? Do we need to turn the fans down a tad? Everybody okay? Okay. And so Abraham, the famine came, and Abraham decided that he would leave Egypt. And that verse that we read a moment ago said that he was going to go down, or leave Canaan, he was going to go down to Egypt. And just like Canaan in the Bible represents the perfect will of God, Egypt in the Bible represents being outside the will of God, represents the world, represents some place where God doesn't necessarily want you to be. Now, there are some good things in Egypt. I mean, Abraham could look into Egypt and say, man, there's food, and the crops are growing, and they have plenty of water for our animals. And so Egypt might look enticing, but when Abraham, who was a great man, who was a friend of God, who was the father of the Hebrew race, when he left Canaan, he left the will of God, and he went down to Egypt. And any time that you leave the will of God, that's the exact direction you go down. In the book of Jonah, when Jonah was fleeing from God's perfect will, the Bible says in Jonah 1:3, Jonah went down to Joppa, where he caught a boat headed for Tarshish, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, where God wanted him to go. In the book of Judges, it says Samson went down to Timnath, where he met Delilah, who was going to take for his strength, and then his eyes, and then eventually his life. And so any time that we leave the perfect will of God and go to a place where he doesn't want us to go, we go down. And that's exactly what Abraham did. Now, here's my message this morning. Abraham just didn't wake up one day in Egypt and say to himself, I wonder how I got here. I wonder how I got out of God's perfect will in Canaan. And I wonder how I got down here in Egypt where he didn't want me to be. You see, it wasn't chance or circumstance that led to Abraham being out of God's will. It was a choice that Abraham made one day to leave Canaan and go to Egypt. This morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about your future. I want to talk to you about where you're headed. I want to talk to you about your destiny. I want to make two statements. I'm going to make one this morning, and then I'm going to make one tonight, but they both deal with this same subject. Statement I want you to concentrate on and center on this morning is this one. Your future is not determined by chance. It's determined by choice. Your future is not determined by chance. It's determined by choice. A lot of people read the story of Abraham and they say, well, it was chance and circumstance that led Abraham to Egypt. I mean, yeah, he was in Canaan, but a famine came. He had to leave. in order to keep his family alive. He had to leave in order to get something to eat and be able to keep his animals alive. And so it was just because of that chance happening that when famine came to Canaan, and because of that circumstance that Abraham had to leave, and so he ended up in Egypt by chance and circumstance. No, no, buzz, wrong, however you want to say it, that's not right. Abraham left the will of God not by chance, not by circumstance. He woke up one day and decided to leave the will of God. Let me ask you this morning, if Abraham were about to make this choice, I'd ask him the same question: who made the earth? Who keeps the rain in heaven? Who makes the corn to grow? Who makes the wheat to grow? Who owns all the cattle on a thousand hills? God does. And God could have taken care of Abraham in Canaan in the middle of famine just as well as he could take care of him anywhere else in the whole world. And Abraham, knowing God, the friend of God that he was, should have known, my God is able. And he can take care of me. I'm going to stay in the center of his will and depend on him. It wasn't fate, chance, or circumstance that led to Abraham getting outside of the will of God. It was his choice. Now let me ask you this morning, what does your future look like? You don't need to go to a psychic. You don't need to go to a crystal ball. You don't need to go to somebody that can read your palm and say, I can tell you what your future is going to be like. I can tell you. All I have to do is know what kind of choices that you're making today, and I can predict your future. For example, maybe young people here today, who am I going to marry? I can tell you who you're going to marry. Tell me who you pick for your friends. Tell me who you pick to spend time with and hang around with. I may not be able to tell you the exact person, but I can tell you the kind of person that you'll end up marrying. Is my life going to be a success? Am I going to succeed in life? Young person might ask. Well, show me your choices that you make today. Have you decided that you're going to obey mom and dad? Have you decided that you're going to do the things they tell you to do? You show me that choice and I'll show you whether you're going to be a success in life or not. What kind of dad or what kind of mom am I going to be? Well, let me see your choices and I'll tell you. Do you always work when they offer you work? Are your hobbies more important than time with your small children? I'll tell you what kind of dad and what kind of mom you'd be by the choices that you make today. Look, you don't start out from Clio this morning and end up in Cincinnati, Ohio, or anywhere else by chance. You end up at your destination through a series of choices that you make along the way to get where God wants you to be or where you want to be. It doesn't happen by chance. Say, oh yeah, brother, I can start out and I can get to anywhere I want by chance. Well, that's how most men think. That's why we never carry maps. And that's why we never ask for directions. We think we can get anywhere we know, and that's why we end up in so much trouble and lost most of our lives, because you don't get somewhere just by chance. You get somewhere by making a series of choices and decisions along life's way. Now listen to this. This is a deep statement. If you're not concerned about the destination, any way you choose to go will be okay. Hey, if I'm not concerned about where I'm headed, I'll just get in and start driving. And if I'm not concerned about where I'm headed, I could start out anyway and that will be okay. But if I'm concerned about where I'm going to end up, then I better watch the choices that I make. Steve, come up here for a minute, would you, and help me? Hey, you go up there and stand right there on the top row and hold this card up. Don't reveal the second one yet, okay? Hey, Sam, I'll get you to hold this one. And Brother Vern, you hold this one. And Brother Ray, you hold this one. Let's see. Brother Larry, you hold this one. All right. Joe, you hold this one, would you? All right. Daniel, will you hold this one for me? And Dick, you hold this one. And Ricky, you hold this one. All right. Hold your card up there, Steve. You got it up? I can't hardly read it, but it says Canaan. All the rest of them I passed out say the same thing, Egypt. They all say Egypt. Here's Abraham. He's got a choice to make. He can stay in Canaan. And by the way, this is where God led him. From the Ur of the Chaldees, he came to this place. Canaan is the kind of place in the Bible you don't get there unless you're going there. when I was going to Green Bay so much, that's what I used to say, same thing about Green Bay. You don't get to Green Bay unless you're going there on purpose. You don't get to Canaan unless you go there on purpose. Abraham, when God called him to leave his home, said, I want you to go to Canaan. That's exactly where I want you to be. You go to Canaan on purpose. But when Abraham said, hey, there's famine in Canaan, this looks pretty good over here, Egypt. It looks pretty good. I'm going to go to Egypt. Don't make your decisions on how things look. I've counseled so many people. You know how they decided who they married? By what their spouse or future spouse looked like. Don't make your decision on what somebody looks like. Here's Egypt back here. Man, it feels good to be in Egypt. Don't make your decision by how something feels. I mean, your feelings are as fickle as pickles. Don't make your decisions based... Look, if you're going to Canaan to the will of God, you got to go there on purpose. I can go to Egypt. I mean, some of these places look nice. And they feel good. And if I make my decisions on what looks nice and what feels good, I'll leave Canaan, the will of God, and I'll end up in Egypt outside of the will of God. Your future, your destiny is not determined by chance. Yeah, I can pass Egypt by chance. I mean, I might say, man, this will be better for my family. If I go to Egypt, I mean, I'm sure that's what Abraham said. I can get food, I can get water, I can raise my crops, I can keep my wealth. This will be better for my family. I'll go to Egypt. Hey, you go and ask Craig and Jadine, Dwayne's nephew. There's a letter out on the board about them being robbed and shot at in Africa. They're missionaries to Africa. If Craig would have made his decision on what's best for his family, he would not be in Africa this morning from a worldly standpoint. He'd be at home in the United States of America. But he made his decision what's eternally best for his family because he says, I'm going to be in the center of God's will, even though it may appear to the world to be bad for my family, being in the center of God's will in the middle of famine or in the middle of Africa where people are shooting at you is much better for your family than being outside of the will of God in the richest settings that you can know. Don't make your decisions on what's best for your family. Don't make your decisions based on what's convenient. It may be more convenient for me to be in Egypt than it is in Canaan. But don't make your decisions on what's convenient. You make your decisions on what does God want you to do. You see, what happens is when we make our own minds up, we want our way. The Bible in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, if I decide I might not choose Canaan, Egypt looks better to me, I'll have it my way. Remember that Burger King commercial? Have it your way. That's what we want. We want it our way. Remember that song that Frank Sinatra sang? Let's see. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. And they buried old Frank. I read his story. They put a pint of Jack Daniels and a pack of Camels in his casket, and he did it his way. And my bet is he's in hell this morning. Let me ask you. Instead of wanting it your way, what about God's way? Instead of having it your way, what about having it God's way? God's way is for you to be in Canaan. It may not be convenient. It may not appear to be the best for your family. It may not appear to be the best place to be from a worldly standpoint. But in the eternal scheme of things, the only place to be is in the center of God's will. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, God wants to tell you which way to go. He'll help you get to Canaan. Say, oh yes, that's what I'm looking for. I know that God led his people through the wilderness with that cloud in the day and that fire by night. And I'm looking for that cloud by day and fire by night. And when I see that divine intervention and leading of God, then I will follow him to the land of Canaan. Well, let me tell you something. If you're waiting for those signs, you may be waiting a long time. I got a map right here that I got right now. I don't have to wait for a cloud by day and fire by night. I know what God wants me to do right now. I don't know where He wants me to go. Right here in this book. I wouldn't look for the cloud by day and the fire by night until I started following the map that I got. I wouldn't look for further instructions from God until I start following the instructions He's given me. I mean, this book tells me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm not going to look for a cloud by day to lead me until I start loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind. This book tells me to love my neighbor as myself. I don't need to look for a pillar of fire by night until I start loving my neighbor as myself. And I could go down line by line, precept upon precept. God's already told us what His perfect will is for our life. You get to choose. You can choose the road to Canaan, and the Bible talks about it being a narrow way. Man, you got to go here to get there. You won't pass it by chance. You will Egypt. Egypt's all over the place. You could get there by chance. And if you don't care about your destination, whichever way you go, doesn't matter. Let me ask you one other question. And I'll be done. Where are you going when you die? You say, oh, Brother Darrell, I believe when you're dead, you're dead. Well, if you believe when you're dead, then you can turn off the rest I'm going to say. You don't need to listen for the next couple minutes. If you believe when you're dead, and that's all there is to it, you can just tune me out for the next few minutes. But let me ask you, what if you're wrong? What if the Bible's right? What if there's a part of you that is going to live forever after your body dies? Where are you going to go? Now, if you don't care, you guys can put the Egypt signs down. You're going to tear out your arm there. Where are you going to go? If the Bible's right and there's going to be a part of you that never dies, where are you going to go when your body dies? Now, if you don't care, if it doesn't make any difference to you, then you don't need to listen to me the next few minutes either. But what if the Bible's right? What if there is a place called heaven where God is, where there's a golden street, where there's mansions, where there's no night, where there's no tears, where there's no pain, where the angels live? And what if the Bible's right? What if there is a hell, a place of fire, the place of the bottomless pit, the place of darkness, a place where the worm dieth not, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Now, if you say, Brother Darrell, I believe when you're dead, you don't need to listen to me. Or if you say, I don't care where I go, it doesn't matter if there is a heaven and hell, I don't care where I go, you don't need to listen to me. But if your destination, your eternal destination is important, then listen to me for a minute. Steve, put your other card up. The other card says heaven. And just like there's only one way to the land of Canaan, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, there's a lot of ways to hell. I could go down any one of these paths. Egypt can represent hell too. I can go down any one of these paths, and I can do what I want to do, and I can end up in hell. Good works. Hey, good works. That's what will get me right with God. Good works. I'll just be good and do good works. Sorry, that doesn't get you to heaven. I can join the church. That will get me to heaven. Nope, sorry. Not what the Bible says. I can take communion. I'll just take a little bit of juice and that piece of unleavened bread. That'll make me right with God. Nope. Only one way to heaven. Got to be going there to get there. Got to go God's way to get there. Can't do it your way. Sorry, this is not Burger King. This is heaven. Got to do it God's way. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let me ask you this morning. Let me just ask you some simple questions. Are you perfect? Anybody here perfect? Anybody here willing to lift their hands and say, I've never made a mistake, never done anything wrong. If anybody on earth is perfect, I'm perfect. I think if we were honest with ourselves, nobody would raise their hand to that question. Are you perfect? Let me ask you a second question, number two. Do you think sin needs to be paid for? I mean, we have an innate sense of justice. When somebody does something wrong, we want them to get caught and we want them to pay for their wrong. Don't we? I mean, if I could go around the room and ask each of you as individuals, that's built into each one of us. When somebody does something wrong, we want them to pay for it. We don't want them to get away with it. We want them to pay for doing wrong. I mean, a guy passes me going 80 miles on a freeway, I'm praying, where's the policeman? Lord, send the policeman. Get this guy. Now, I maybe want to be going 80, and I may be going too fast too, but if somebody passes me, I want them to get caught. I mean, we have that innate sense of justice. So why is it unreasonable to think, to read where the Bible says the wages of sin is death? If you sin, if you're not perfect, there's a price that you have to pay for that. Do you believe that? And do you believe that, here's the hard part, here's where faith comes in. I mean, we can believe that we're sinners, and we can believe that there's a penalty for that sin. That sort of goes along with the way we think things should be. Here's the hard part. Here's where you got to use that little bit of faith that God gives to every person. Do you believe, like the Bible says, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came and died on the cross to pay for your sin? That's the crux of it. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came and died on the cross to pay for your sin? You see, you have a choice to make this morning. We've already gone too far for you not to make a choice. If you're here and you're not saved, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've got to say yes or no. Sorry, I've already gone too far. So have you in listening. You've got to say yes or you've got to say no. You've got to say one of those two things this morning. You can't leave without saying one of those two things. Where are you going to go when you die? When you're dead, you're dead. What if the Bible's right? Doesn't matter where I go. I don't know about you. I'd rather go to heaven. I mean, if there's this much of a chance that the Bible's right, I would rather go to heaven. But you don't get there by chance. You get there by choice. You choose to exercise that little bitty faith that God gave you and say, I believe, even though I may not understand it, even though I may not be able to comprehend how it all worked, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe that he went to the cross to die for my sins. And I am going to trust that to make me right with God. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. And I'm going to trust that and nothing else to make me right with God. That's a choice that you have to make this morning that's going to determine where you end up. It's easy to get to Egypt. You can take hundreds of roads and get to Egypt. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now this morning, you got to make a choice. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have to make a choice. You can ignore what I'm saying and walk out the door, and what you're saying is no. Look, God wants you to be in heaven. That's his will for you. God's got a will for every single person in this room. And his will is for you to be in heaven. He showed you the way. I mean, maybe you didn't come this morning expecting to have to make a choice, but you have to make a choice. And you can ignore what I've said the past few minutes, and you can walk out the door and say, nope, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what God says. I'm going to choose this morning to ignore and reject Christ. Oh, you say, Brother Darrell, I'd never do that. Make no mistake about it. That's exactly what you're doing if you walk out the door saying no to Jesus. You're rejecting Christ. You're ignoring the love of God. You're ignoring the sacrifice that was paid for you on the cross. As you walk out the door saying no to Jesus, you might as well just kick him in the face and spit on him like the Roman soldiers did, because that's exactly what you're saying. No. I'll do it my way. My way's good enough. I'm sorry, it's not. The only way that you can get to heaven is come through Jesus. And all you got to do that this morning is say, yes. Yes. I trust him. I don't understand how it all works. I can't comprehend why God would do that for me, a sinner. I tell you what, I've been saved a long time. But I still can't understand. You don't have to understand it. All you got to do is have a little bit of faith and believe God. And if you're here this morning, don't walk out and say no to Him. Don't do it. It's better to be in the center of God's will than any other place. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making it so simple. Even a child can understand. You got to say yes to Jesus. And I pray this morning, I pray, Father, for those that are here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I don't care how old they are. They may be up. They may be in their 60s or their 70s. They may be in their 20s and their 30s. They may be in their teens. It doesn't matter how old they are. They all got to come the same way, through Jesus. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to those who've never received Christ, who've never made that decision to trust Him. And I pray this morning, they'll just, in a simple act of faith, they will say, I'm going to trust Jesus and what He did for me on Calvary to take care of my sins. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. And then to every Christian here this morning, you make choices every day. You make choices every day that affect how the rest of your life is going to go. Why don't you ask God what His way is? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, that part of God that lives inside of you? Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know which way to go, but you do. Would you help me make this decision? Your destiny does not depend on chance. It depends on the choices you make. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us make the right choices. And we'll give Jesus all the glory, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.